Happy Star Wars Day, people. May the 4th be with you. Welcome back to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Show. What's going on, Chris? How you doing this morning, brother?
Greetings and salutations, Mr. Knox. Greetings and salutations, wrestling and Star Wars fans. Happy to be back here on this glorious Monday.
Well, welcome to a day that I just want to say, I love what today is. It is the 4th, people. Not the 4 horsemen. Not 4 tacos, because tomorrow will be Cinco de Mayo. It is Star Wars Day, people. I am watching. People may not like the Return of the Sith right now, but it's the greatest lightsaber battle of all time. Okay? Of all time! And I'm excited for the day that you have your red cup. I want this smoke because I got my Star Wars Galaxy's Edge cup today. And we're going to talk about the week in wrestling. WWE, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, of course. Also, AEW. Oh, another great Bubbly Bunch episode. Cody getting his name back. We're going to talk about, 2K Gaming bringing Battlegrounds. Is that the end of Sim Games as we know it? And Jeff Hardy, he comes back next Friday. Do you care? And also, this intriguing Money in the Bank. We're going to try to give you our predictions the best we can, Chris. But before we get into all that, how has been your week, sir?
You know what? I can't complain, man. I'm starting to get a little stir crazy with the whole quarantine thing. I find myself going to the grocery store like 2 or 3 times a week just to have something to do.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing to me through all of this has been these middle America people that are outside protesting like it's the civil rights movement
because
right. They can't go to Panera Bread. Like, come on, man. Y'all got to relax. Please, let's relax.
It's so funny to me when I see it because it's like, please, people, just to stay home. We're not politicians, but come on. It's almost breaking. I went today to go get some food for the wife and I for this morning, and I went past Applebee's with a big old sign now saying, now open. You know, we spoke about this last week, the 25%. What is 25%? Count it all. I hope we do get things back into focus. But I'll tell you one thing, though. Call me a negative Andy. I don't know about that, but you can call me a scary cat. That's for sure, because my ass ain't going nowhere in public till you tell me we're at stage 3. Okay, I ain't going outside, goddammit, I got children. But we're here and we digress right now, Chris, and we're talking about professional wrestling this morning. What has happened this past week? A lot has went on, but I tell you this much. For me, the best stuff I saw came off of SmackDown. That's just me. But you just go ahead and you tell me how you feel about the week in wrestling. Run it down for the guys and girls out there in the wrestling land.
The week in wrestling was interesting. We had for WWE, we had the go-home shows for Money in the Bank. I enjoyed SmackDown as well. I thought Raw was pretty good as well. I got to give a special shout-out to Zelina Vega and Drew McIntyre. They've been holding it down like an anvil on a seesaw during this whole quarantine Raw era. And there's also been a few revelations out here as well in WWE. Guys and gals that are starting to get an opportunity that probably wouldn't have got that opportunity, or the shit wouldn't have hit the same way in front of a live studio audience. Like, for example, that promo that Sonya Deville cut last week, that was the star-making promo. And had she cut that in front of a live studio audience, you already know it would have been a whole bunch of whats and whats, and she would have got flustered, and she would have lost her spine, and she would have got lost in the moment. But she was able to get that out. We know where she was coming from, and she showed me something. Because, you know, for obvious reasons, I always thought Mandy was the star of that show, and once they finally broke them up, I thought she would just kind of get lost in the song. But
easy to do to get lost in the sauce.
But she showed me something, and she's been quite the revelation during this quarantine time.
Again, that was one of my things that I said about, to me, why I thought SmackDown stood out the most in this week in wrestling was Sonya Deville's promo. And I'm with you now, as we're all on record for saying, wrestling should be, you know, with the crowd. The crowd does need to be there. But I know that I and a few others are on record for saying, certain guys and girls are getting over better now because of the crowd not being there. They can get their promos out. They can, and I cannot see, let them Sonya Deville. I hope this has showed wrestling fans watching this when we get a chance to go back in droves to go out there and scream and boo, whatever it is you do to pay your money to go do, is admire what she has given us in the ring, in her promo work and in the ring. How she beat up Mandy was also good as well there, Chris.
She was. And this is weird for me because I've been on record saying that I think the fans are too invested in trying to get themselves over as opposed to letting the storyline play out. Like, mm-hmm. can you imagine, Tony Stark cutting a big monologue during the Avengers and the whole movie theater is just going, what? Or during one of the fight scenes, this is awesome. Like, right. y'all gotta relax, man. Like, do what you're there to do. You're there to cheer the baby faces and boo the heels. That's your Joe. It's like an unofficial contract that you sign when you step in that arena. And you have the right to have your voice heard. And if you don't like a certain storyline or you don't like a certain performer or the way that they're presenting that performer, that's fair. But it can't be about you. It's not all about you. They give you one night a year when it's all about you.
But I pay my money to go see it. But they don't listen to me. That's wrestling fans.
Yes. So you go to the D'Angelo concert. I don't know why I said D'Angelo. It's the first name that popped in my head. But you know what I'm saying. Like, he's sitting up there, little intimate setting, got his little keyboard. He's talking to the crowd, and everybody just starts going, play Brown Sugar. Play Brown Sugar.
That would be horrible.
Yeah, it's a little irritating. So, I mean, take this time to understand, man, that you signed a social contract with them. Yes, you have the right to be a voice heard. If you don't like what they're doing, you have a right to be vocal about it. But don't try to hijack the show. They give you one night a year, Raw after Mania, when it's all about you. Oh. So get all your shit out there and let's let them try to tell us stories.
I hate that they give them the one night a year, personally. It's just they give them every night, to be honest. The crowd will take over an event, especially WrestleMania weekend. Not only on SmackDown, too, I thought that was one of the biggest points was Mandy and them. I also thought, I'm a Dolph Mark, so I'm going to say Dolph, okay?
Yes.
I thought Dolph and Otis, I just like all of that. I like Mandy with Otis. I don't know. I'm watching that, and I'm saying, she's going to turn on him. Maybe not. You know what I mean? Because of how Sonya Deville is coming at her. I don't know where they're going with this. I'm not sold on Otis necessarily. Otis is funny. It's a gimmick. It's a time. But, Dolph's doing what he always does, and that's be very good in my opinion. But also the Firefly Funhouse, I like that. I'm not a big fan of Braun's new shirt, Braun Express.
No.
Really? The Lex Express, like, and on the back it says, clear the tracks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know about that. I like the title around his waist. He does look like a champion. You know what I mean? But come out here and say something to me. And he just looked at him. He just waved. So next week, going into Money in the Bank, I'd be the go-home show for SmackDown. Hope we get more from that as well, Chris.
I do as well. And yeah, I'm a get these hands guy. I popped when he first said that because I said, okay, somebody's got a black friend back in the back because he ain't come up with that shit by himself. I was like, I even got the shirt. I got the get these hands shirt.
I got that Monster Among Men shirt because frankly, she says I'm a monster among men, but that's why I spell name with three X's because I am hardcore. Just saying. Continue.
Hey-o.
Hey!
How am I supposed to follow that, sir?
I don't know. Okay, well, you got, they did another Jeff Hardy video, which talks about, his comeback, Sheamus in the ring. Sheamus says, oh, Jeff's coming back. I'm coming back. And just to pause it right there before we get into the rest of the week in wrestling, with the Jeff Hardy situation, they're showing these videos. I like Jeff. I love Jeff. What is Jeff actually coming back to do? Is Jeff going to have a run that it's going to be meaningful? Does Jeff deserve to have a run, if you will, so to speak, that's meaningful? Or is this another cash cow by the WWE, with all the rumors out there as well being that they're going to sell the company, which, by the way, until I see the damn blood on the dotted line, I think is all baloney. And anybody who knows me knows one of my favorite movies from the 80s is Weird Science, and I don't like baloney. I don't like it fried. I don't like it with mustard. I don't like it with mayo. I do not like baloney. So all those rumors about them selling the company is, again, baloney. Okay, but this is what I see was going on, Chris.
Well, I work too hard to have to eat bologna, man, so I'm with you
exactly.
on that.
Exactly.
I'm with you on
although
that.
Although I have a Theo Huxtable mentality, sometimes bologna and cereal is just okay. But I'm realizing now that I like steak. I like to have my Series XM in my car. I'm a little bougie. You know what I'm saying? I like Johnny Walker Blue and 18 Reasons. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little bougie. Okay, but continue.
But yeah, so we talked about this before we went on air. Do people care about this Jeff Hardy thing? And I think so. Number one, as far as deserve, well, deserve is subjective. So okay. I'm not going to open that can of worms. But, you know, the wrestling. But the wrestling audience has been whittled down to the hardest of the hardcore. Mm-hmm. So that being said, we remember Jeff Hardy when he broke in with the Hardy Boys, when they kind of would do those stop and start right. pushes with him. And we wanted them to go all the way with him. And then they finally did go all the way with him. And then right before he left the company, he was literally the hottest guy in the industry, which I don't know how TNA funded that bad, but that's the end of it.
To certain fans, not to me. Go ahead.
I just remember them crowds on SmackDown when he was having the matches with Punk and Triple H and
they
whatnot.
Were big. They were big. I can't take that from him. He was hot. He was definitely hot, but I mean, like bacon grease.
Yes. But I mean, Jeff Hardy is basically the Robert Downey Jr. of pro wrestling. Ooh. He's an immensely talented, popular guy who his demons get the best of him. So if he is able to overcome his demons, yo, that's the easiest story in the world to tell. That works in any medium of entertainment, along with the old gunslinger out for his last ride. Works in any medium.
Blind tag. I like the Robert Downey Jr. reference, but then I think of Iron Man, and I started thinking about what would Jeff, you know, what he would be. He would be like a Nightcrawler guy. You know what I'm saying? He just, you know, he's a little dark guy, a little eccentric guy. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guy. I know that it's Star Wars Day, but he said Robert Downey Jr. and I thought about Iron Man. Damn it.
Well, I don't think he has a doppelganger in the Star Wars universe.
Okay, no, I didn't believe that he would have one. It probably, you know, I can't even name all the creatures that are involved in Star Wars. I'm not going to try to go there and come down my throat. Pause. But do you want to see him though? I see where he was. We know what he used to be. He had that title that, you know, he's going to jump off a building maybe. Do you care about seeing Jeff Hardy? I mean, when I say that, it's nothing personal against Jeff. This is not about what we know Jeff to do, respect Jeff. But I will say this to be honest and open, okay? He has let me down before with his demons. And not even too far long ago, he got another DUI, okay? So why now am I supposed to believe in Jeff Hardy, this big push? And what big push? Where does they go from? I posed the question. I'm going to answer the question for you, Chris. I don't care. And it's no disrespect towards Jeff.
Really?
I don't think they can make me care enough about Jeff. These videos didn't make me care. Did these videos make you care about Jeff? I just said, okay, that's what we already knew he could do. Okay, another, you know, vignettes, if you will, but just in a video package. But they don't make me care enough. How am I supposed to care about Jeff Hardy?
Well, I'm predisposed to care because I've always been a Jeff Hardy guy, and I got the opportunity to meet him at Mania Orlando, right before him and Matt redebuted. We talk about that damn near every week. It's literally the biggest pop I've ever heard in the history of wrestling in a live arena.
That's why I pissed on that guy and just walked up their bathroom. But my they got locked up, by the way. They're saying, I just literally just turned around pissing. And just Sorry. I don't even know that guy. Whoever you are, I apologize that I pissed all over your jeans. First of all, why the hell you had on jeans is beyond me. And the hot Orlando sun. You should have had on some shorts. Then it might have been a fight broke out. So it's a good thing you had on jeans because you got your ass whooped and I went to jail, but I digress. But yeah, continue. Peeing on people. The pop was crazy. It was huge. That's why I pissed on the guy. But you still care about that?
Much better to get pissed on wearing jeans as opposed to shorts. So that was a serendipity on that man's part. So shout out to that man and his jeans. I'm not going to hate him for that. Can you imagine piss running down your thigh? What are you supposed to do?
Not a damn thing, Jim. No. Not a damn thing. Shout out to Corey. Chi-Town Corey. Let's go. Bulls all day. Commented, Jeff has to prove that he cares before I care again. And that's where I stand. I'm in that same elk of fans. Like, you let me down too many times, Jeff. Like, just way too many times. More than Razor Ramon. And that's a lot of damn times from Scott Hall.
You have an argument, but your premise is flawed, saying that he's got to make me care. He's got to show me that he cares. He's always cared, even to a fault. That's why he jumps off all that shit, because he cares. Yeah, he's got his demons, but you can't say that him not caring is that. No, yes, he cares.
Okay.
I mean, look what he's put his body through for this industry. Like, he clearly cares. And again, that's a very easy story to tell. The old gunslinger with his demons coming back for one last ride. That works in every medium of entertainment. It works in movies. It's worked in sports before. It works. And I mean, it's only been a few weeks. let's see him out there. Let's see him get some wins. Let's see him build a little bit of momentum. And then finally he has that shot
You know what momentum it looks like? I'm about to see Sheamus whoop his ass on Friday. That's the moment we're about to see. Okay. And they're going to make you care some more because the big old bully Sheamus, AKA, is that Bebop or Rockstar? I think it was Bebop. Bebop whooped his ass. Yeah.
I think it was Bebop. Yeah.
I know. Well, I said Bebop. I got you. My son's a diehard Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. Of all of the, nice. all the renditions of them, by the way. My only son that actually liked the cartoons I like.
Which one was the Rhino? Was that Bebop or Rocksteady? Okay, I had Rocksteady as a kid, the action figure. Yeah. I made him Big Van Vader in my wrestling ring.
Hey, nice symbolism. Nice symbolism. Yeah. Big Van Vader, rest in peace. And as a matter of fact, guys, and speaking of my recipe for Big Van Vader, for all my sports junkies out there and Miami Dolphin fans, Don Shula has passed away this morning, so our prayers go out to him and his family as well. And follow that news and every other news from the NFL over at foxsportsradio.com, 1340 AM, foxradio.com, that is, and also on 1340 AM is the Twitter page, Instagram, as well as all our social media pages. Just get more of that information, more news coming from you guys soon as well from Fox Sports Radio. And also find out to listen to this podcast later on as well, guys, over at chairshot.com, hashtag, use your head. All right, guys. Chris, what else happened in the week in wrestling?
All right, so moving on down with the week in wrestling. NXT had a pretty good week this week as well. Yeah. I like the Charlotte Mia Yim program. Really like
it. Are you really going to sit there?
Of course. Of course.
That's your fault. From now on, it is. Okay? You either better serve it up nicely or say, Mike, your girl wrestled. Okay? Because if you do not refer to her as what she truly is, it's going to be some pittance going around here, okay? Charlotte, the greatest women's wrestler of all time. Continue. I'm sorry. Just say her name the right way. That's all.
You good? You got out of the system? You feel good? You feel better? You feel fulfilled?
Of all time. Charlotte Flair, greatest women's wrestler of all time.
All right. Thank you, sir. I really enjoyed the main event as well with Keith Lee facing formerly Punishment Martinez of TNA, a.k.a. Damian Priest. Obviously, I love Keith Lee.
I'm not a fan of Damian Priest whatsoever. Really? I've seen him in Ring of Honor. I'm not a fan.
I like this iteration of him here in NXT, man. He's got a good look. He's a big guy. He's showing a little bit of a vicious side to himself. He's got good size and he moves well for a big guy in the ring. I can see him, you know, being the B side of a B pay-per-view versus Roman Reigns or something like that for the title. I can see that in his
name, as we not have heard from him since he has said he is not wrestling at WrestleMania. Let's not say Roman. That names are not talked about in the WWE always these days.
Are you hating or are you stating? I don't understand.
I was actually stating an insider that I'm not supposed to say about insiders because I don't do dirt sheets. Just know that there are people that are not happy with Mr. Roman Reigns right now.
Well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say because it might be kids watching, but okay, we'll move on. I just really like this main event. Obviously, Keith Lee is money. I wish he would have been called up. He needs to be out there beefing with Brock Lesnar and McIntyre and Braun Strowman. I feel like they're almost defining him down by having him hold the North American title, I think. I don't think that's a step up for him. I think he should be that push that they gave McIntyre heading into WrestleMania, you could have did that the exact same thing with Keith Lee and would have went over just as well, if not better.
But no crowd, you got to go with the guy. I mean, he deserves it more, I guess, because he was the chosen one. You know what I'm saying? So I guess you got
to
do it that way.
No disrespect to Drew, because he's been holding it down. Like we talked about earlier, him and Zelina Vega have held down Raw. And that's really the biggest feud they got on the Tom and Jerry side of the game right now. Right. Her and her stable versus McIntyre. Speaking of Drew McIntyre, they had the contract signing on Raw as well between himself and White Jesus, Seth Rollins, heading into their match at Money in the Bank. Which we'll get to Money in the Bank here momentarily,
They really got this man playing White Jesus on TV. I'm just saying, it's Vince always had a fight with him and God, right? So he got himself a disciple. Go ahead.
And shout out to God, by the way, for getting his receipt with this whole coronavirus thing and shut down WrestleMania so Vince ain't making no paper. Nope. So shout out to God, get his receipt. You know, he might not come when you want, but he's always on time.
All right. I thought that was Ja Rule and Ashanti, but okay. May the force be with you. I give you the force, my young Padawan.
So moving on to, is there anything else in WWE before we get to Dynamite? Because I really want to, we got a lot to talk cover, man. I want to get to our Money in the Bank preview.
Nothing from Raw stood out besides the contract signing? That's pretty sad. No? That's pretty sad.
Really. No. Raw was there.
Well, you know what?
It was there.
It, you know why?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a shout out to my man Apollo, man. They had this Melon Farmer crying on television. Come on, man. That's not how you get anybody else. There's no crying. There's no crying in wrestling. There's no crying in wrestling. What are you doing? How are you supposed to get a man over and he's sitting up there crying? And as of right now, I don't remember if they said anything on Raw, but I remember seeing the Money in the Bank graphic, you know, displaying everybody that was going to be in the match, and Apollo was not in there.
No, if you look at it, we have it on the ticker down there on the participants that are involved in that match, and they are having a gauntlet match tonight on Raw to see who will fill that spot. And we'll talk about that momentarily as well. So on to AEW.
AEW had a decent week. I really liked the main event with they went above and beyond to make Lance Archer look like a badass versus Dustin Rhodes. And them Rhodes boys sure like the blade, don't they? Like, this Melon Farmer bladed on a TV match in front of no crowd. Like, I mean, come on, man.
Listen, they are the sons of the greatest. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time, greatest promoters of all time, and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, reason why yours truly is actually a wrestling fan, okay? And speaking of the Rhodes family, Cody did trademark to go out to the trademark of his name as WWE Let It Go. He went and applied for it to get his name back. And I've always thought, I'm putting the record, I've been a Cody Rhodes fan from the beginning, okay? Well, from day two, I always say day two, not fair. My friend Finn Bailey, fan first, pointed him out. Paid attention, been a fan ever since, way before, you know, when he be in his inception. With that being said, again, I love the fact that he's doing this, but I hate the fact that he has to do this. This is the practices of the WWE that pisses off their fan base. When you have to buy someone's real entitled last name from them, that he has to fight to get his name back. But he files for that name. I hope he gets that name. But, I mean, his daddy bled. His big brother bled. So, yeah, little brother bleds too. So, yeah, that's what they do, Chris.
That's what they do, man. And they all going to have foreheads that look like hamburger meat in 20 years. But whatever, y'all. Hey, man, whatever, man, it's your journey.
Hey, Ric Flair's still getting ass from it. So, hey.
Touche. That's fair. And I'm with you, man. I think that it was extremely petty that when he walked out the door, they wouldn't let him take the name with him. I mean, it's like, all right, you can keep the war games, but the name comes with me. The name got my daddy's blood on it, literally. Yeah. Literally, the name got my daddy's blood on it. Shout out to Ike Turner.
They definitely took the war games from him as well. It took a lot of ideas that financially, and I mean, people can't be mad about that. That's just business, to be honest.
It is business, but it's the ugly side of business.
To me, the ugly side is the name. I can deal with the matches and the things that he's done because that's what he bought, that stuff that he's entitled to, that that should always be his. We know where the idea came from. You can't, what they say, and Above the Rim, which is now on Netflix, you can't take what we were, man. You can't take what we were. You know what I mean? Shout out to Flip, a.k.a. Bernie Mac, at the Night Street, my street, Chi-Town, The Last Dance. We still dancing, still. Can't wait to talk about that. But I mean, you can't take that. You can't take who he was. You know what I mean? And his name is his name, and he's going to get his name back. And that's the good side of things in wrestling. And he's going to get his name back. And I can just imagine a promo when they introduce him. And he may drop a tear.
Y'all ain't danced in 22 years, sir. I danced 4 years ago. But getting back to wrestling.
Let's check the vacation schedule for those who want to go to Cleveland versus those who want to go to Chicago. Just saying.
Championship City. Mm-hmm. You get to see a more recent banner. You know what I mean? Recent history. Not ancient history.
Okay. Well, yes. In that case, what about your baseball
history? You can witness.
What about your baseball history?
Yeah, baseball's not playing right now, man.
Okay. Nobody's playing right now.
Why are we bringing up baseball?
No one's playing right now. So, what are you talking about? Go ahead, Willis.
I still ain't got over 97 when we lost to the Marlins in game 7. I still ain't got over blowing that 3-1 lead versus the Sox in what, 2007. I still ain't got over that. I certainly ain't got over 2016, which is probably what you're referring to. Which,
of course,
I don't even remember anything that happened that year.
Why? I don't recall. You're not even telling the truth right now.
I don't recall that. The Cavs won the title that year. That's what I remember. That's it. Nothing else happened. Yeah, nothing else of significance happened in 2016.
The Indians have won a title recently. What do you mean have won? What title, Victor, have they won? The title of LeBron left again. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, here come the bullshit.
It's
coming.
You started it.
Cody Rhodes. I did. Well, you know. No, you started it. Almost the last dance. Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, you know. I was going on a reference to a patron in the chat, and I said last dance we dance, and you brought up you took 22 years, so you started.
Well, yeah.
Facts.
Can I celebrate my one? It ain't like I'm gonna get another one. Can I celebrate my one, please?
The Indians won. Anywho, with Tito who?
No, they didn't. Tito Francona, Terry Francona,
hey,
the manager.
They lost to the Cubs, boy. No. They check your schedule.
Well, no, that season never happened.
Yeah.
But speaking of Cody real quick, though, did you get kind of a heelish vibes from him in that match versus Darby Allin? Like, I don't know if they're going to turn Cody. I think he's the biggest babyface they have, but maybe he was just playing it up trying to get Darby over. I don't know. Did you pick up on something that wasn't there?
It looked that way, but sometimes Cody wrestles that way, even though he is a face and the biggest babyface they have, that he wrestles as a heel at times. So I didn't take it any different than just that. Like, he always shown this mean streak. He's still always, even in the matches against the not perfect tennis, what I call him, when he got the chair shot. I mean, he just, oh, chair shot. Hey, chairshot.com.
Hey.
Hashtag. Use your head. But, that's just Cody to me. That's just Cody.
Another interesting thing is that AEW is basically doing the Jeff Hardy, but with Scorpio Sky. You know, he's cutting these vignettes every week. They're trying to get him over and trying to get his personality over and where he comes from. And the only thing that, number one, I think it's cool. Yeah, push the brothers. But the weird thing is, like, his nose is off center. Like, his nose is at, like, a 36 and a half really? Degree angle. And I just can't stop staring at
him. And his nose. What's next? Picking on Michael Jordan because he likes to pitch quarters? Give me a break.
Yes, what are you doing pitching quarters, Mike? You're not a college student at a frat party.
Something to do while I'm waiting to play a game. That's all. Don't judge me. I am not a role model. Okay.
Touche. No, that was Barkley, man. That wasn't Mike.
Watched episodes 5 and 6, and you will understand.
If I Ooh. Could be like Mike, that sounds pretty role modelish to me, sir.
Yeah, well, that's just a paycheck. Who's not taking a paycheck? Stephanie McMahon comes up to you in the locker room, and you're not going to go after it and marry it if you could? That's all I'm saying.
Touche.
Shout out to the King Touché. Of Kings. But, I thought that's just Cody, and what Cody does is what Cody does best. Darby Allin, he is starting to wear me down. I don't think I can get into the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara, like people want to. I don't believe in Sammy Guevara. His character is not believable to me. I would see his character and smack the shit out of him. That's just me. I'm being honest. He is not somebody who's wrestling is for me to suspend my belief, right? I can see me seeing a acid tripping Allen Darby doing crazy shit like Jeff Hardy, even pretty much what he is, right? With a skateboard. But Sammy Guevara, that's the kid that he was talking all this kind of smack. I had to let him know that he's a chihuahua and I'm a pit bull. Oh! And we gonna come out. It's what we do to him. All right, I'm just saying. I don't believe in Sammy Guevara, but I am starting to believe in Allen Darby a little bit there, Chris.
That's the character, though. You want to smack the shit out of him, and then by hook or by crook, he comes out victorious. Like, literally, Ric Flair made an entire career off of that.
Then I guess it's working, then. How about that? You learn something new every day, Christopher.
That's what I'm here for, brother.
All right. But you didn't talk about the best part about the show was.
We have not. I was saving the best for last, sir.
You already know what the best part of the... For the benefit of those with flash photography, not just because of my shirt, turn to the middle of the screen and get ready for this week's edition of The Bubbly Bunch, baby!
You know, there's a lot of contention. tension online, word on the street is that people actually think that Sammy beat me in the Flim Flam Challenge last week.
Oh, and if anybody online, anybody in the media, wants to go and say that I didn't have the best Flim Flam last week, well, I have a message for everybody, and it goes like this. Suck my big bottle of sanitizer, baby.
Hey, Sammy. Listen, all due respect, but Chris definitely won last week.
I don't know, Papi. I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one.
I thought I'd say
this. Okay? It doesn't make a difference. We need to stay sharp during this lockdown. We need to stay strong. And since nobody in AEW can kick our asses anyways, why don't we fight each other? Let's have a good old-fashioned Manitoba melee, huh? What do you say, huh?
Oof. I like it. This is going to hurt, but it's going to make the inner circle stronger than ever.
Hell yeah, guys. Can I start the fight?
You know you didn't win the Flim Flam. You know what?
How about this?
Oh! You! Yep!
Got the jersey there. I'm sorry, I don't know why this is so funny to me.
I mean, bro, it's Lou Ferrigno with a stun gun. What is there not to love about this, man? And Jay and Silent Bob, what is there not to love about
Come on,
this?
They go friend the program.
Because that was awesome. That was one of the best Manitoba melees I've ever been a part of. Long live the inner circle. See you guys later. Was that Lou Ferrigno? With a taser?
It don't get no better than the Bubbly Bunch. So overall, man, your thoughts about the week in wrestling? I mean, pretty low-key week, to be honest, from all programs of all. I am starting to feel that itch of what I've tried to preach about. Hey, I'm used to the crowd not being there. I'm trying to get over it. In some spots, I think it works. In other spots, I think it do not work. And I think that's holds for every show. The only show that actually I feel gives me the best no-crowd show, and this is just me, it's NXT. I don't know. Maybe it's the performance in the ring takes away. I don't know, but overall, week in wrestling, it's going to maintain what it has been. And that's roughly about a 2.5 out of 5 NWA Arn Anderson TV titles. Nothing against Arn, it's just I'm putting the belt down that low, and it's just on TV. My favorite title, though, it gives me something to watch, Chris. Still a 2.5 out of 5. But I am looking, I do see promise in SmackDown areas and in AEW growth of other people that are now performing because they are there live.
I'm going to be a little bit more generous with you, and I'm going to give the Week in Wrestling 3 out of 5 John Moxley AEW titles. And the reason I say that is because when he first won the title, I wasn't a fan of it. I thought it was too early to take the belt off of Jericho, mm-hmm. and I didn't know if he's going to be able to carry it. Conversely, when these empty arena shows started, I wasn't a fan. I thought it was weird that the fans weren't there. But for both the Moxley title reign as well as the empty arena shows, I'm starting to come around to them and I'm starting to get used to them.
All right. So I'm starting to feel the effect of them not being there. And it's just things like this. When you look at them and they're pointing to a briefcase for Money in the Bank on SmackDown, I'm like, that's hanging from a roof, a ceiling, rather. And, you know.
The roof is the ceiling, sir. We know that.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, okay. We know that.
But it's inside hanging. And that leads us to the predictions of this coming up Money in the Bank. Two things where I think Vince is missing here, Chris, and that's it's Mother's Day. Why the hell you expect people to watch this on Mother's Day? And it's going to probably be 4 hours. Okay? Second, and most importantly, which they probably didn't know and Vince doesn't care. And for the people who are just, I'm going to keep it real. Because most of us sports wrestling fans like sports and wrestling. I'm not choosing this over The Last Dance. Not episodes 7 and 8. Oh, no. Did you say episodes 5 and 6? Bad, bad choice, Vince, to put this thing on Mother's Day. And what's also bothering me about this Money in the Bank, Chris, is that we spoke about this when we did our review show for WrestleMania. And the difference between the Firefly Funhouse, which to me I still think was completely amazing for what it was, okay, and the Boneyard match is that I thought, okay, one wasn't a match, so I didn't need to see it. So, all right, so I'm sorry, bringing back in Ciampa and Gargano's match, okay? Some things can be cinematic, Chris, and some can't. And they're going to, from what Michael Cole said on Friday, the men's and women's Money in the Bank matches will be happening simultaneously. That scares me, Chris. That scares me a lot. Because that tells me a lot of I don't know what the hell they're going to fucking do. Am I going to watch this for them for an hour? Between two different matches as they intercede with each other? Fighting in the hallways, the bathrooms, the elevator, the stairway, the kitchen area, Vince's office maybe? To then go to the roof and then still have to climb the ladder? Or will I see this, you know, where, how? There's no way but to them, I can't see them doing this as a match backstage like Edge and Orton, fighting all the way to the top. I just don't see it being the way. Hopefully it is. And hopefully I will enjoy it. I'm always a guy who says, wait and see, wait and see. But I'm also going to be a guy who's always said to you guys, I've always been real about what they show me, how I feel about what they show me, and what they're giving me for Sunday. And I heard that, I cringe when I hear it going on at the same time simultaneously, Chris.
Well, first and foremost, Michael, thank you for making me feel like a terrible person because I did not realize that Mother's Day was on Sunday. So I've got a lot of flowers that I've got to order as soon as this recording is over. Okay. Now, moving on.
It's live and it's recorded. Both count. Go ahead.
Well, either way, when we get done with this Melon Farmer, I'm going to FDS Flowers because I got a lot of orders to fill. All right. So that's happening. Number two, to quote Poppy from Highly Questionable, see, I'm very intrigued. When I found out that both women's and men's matches were happening simultaneously, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off, but I was intrigued and I'm interested to see what they do with this. And hell, it worked 30 years ago for Die Hard. John McClane started in the bowels of the building and ended up on the roof. And, that was the template. Yeah, that was the template for all action movies that followed.
It's not a Christmas story. It's not a Christmas movie. I'm just saying. Die Hard is not a fucking Christmas story.
The whole reason he's there is because he's visiting his family for Christmas.
Okay.
They end on a Christmas musical or a Christmas song.
It happens on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Doesn't make it a Christmas movie. A Christmas movie is about Christmas. This wasn't about Christmas. It's about terrorists. Not Christmas.
It's a Christmas miracle he survived. Like, is that really more? What's more impressive, the miracle on 34th Street with Jimmy Stewart?
I love Die Hard.
Or John McClane?
It's not. It's not a Christmas story. It's not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas story. It's not The Elf. It's not National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's not Scrooge. It's none of those things. It's a great action movie, which I love. It's not a fucking Christmas movie. Sorry, Mom.
What's more impressive, Jimmy Stewart tripping off acid and having visions in It's a Wonderful Life?
Actually, yes.
Or John McClane destroying terrorists with no shoes? Come on, man.
Live on Facebook, YouTube, live on wherever podcasts are sold. So I'm a man up. I would
he didn't have shoes, Mike.
On Christmas Day, I would rather watch It's a Wonderful Life over watching Die Hard on Christmas Day. Is it a better movie than Die Hard? No, I don't think that it is. But on Christmas Day, I'm not watching Die Hard. If Die Hard's a Christmas movie, so is Gremlins.
He didn't have shoes, Mike. It was John McClane and Carl Winslow on the walkie-talkie. And they destroyed and defeated the terrorists. Okay, so Gremlins, and he didn't have shoes,
Gremlins,
Mike.
Gremlins is a Christmas story then. That's all I'm saying. And y'all mine. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
If Gremlins has to be a Christmas story in order to prove my argument, then yes, I'll give it Christmas status.
Move on. Money in the bank. So you're intrigued by these guys all fighting, girls fighting together at the same time.
Yeah, man. I've seen that movie a million times on Pornhub. So
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
I thought it was at Home Hub now, or Stay at Home Hub now. Some shit like that.
Stay at Home Hub. So
I thought they changed their name. Somebody brought that to my attention. I was like, oh, okay. But as of right now, in the Money in the Bank, man, you got Daniel Bryan, Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio, King Corbin, Otis, and then someone to be named later, which I told you guys will be a gauntlet match tonight to put in that final participant. Can it be Roman? I doubt it, but could it? All right. And then we got the women's side of things that's already filled. You got Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella coming back to try to win the title. Or not the title, but the briefcase. Sorry.
No worries. So before we get into that, man, I just have something I wanted to read to you right quick. All right.
Okie dokie.
Edge, Rob Van Dam, Mr. Kennedy, CM Punk, Jack Swagger,
mm-hmm.
Kane,
mm-hmm.
The Miz,
okay.
Daniel Bryan,
mm-hmm.
Alberto Del Rio, your man's, John Cena, Damian Sandow, mm-hmm. Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Dean Ambrose, Carmella, Baron Corbin, Alexa Bliss, Braun Strowman, Bayley, Brock Lesnar.
Winners.
One of these things is not like the others. With the notable exception of Alberto Del Rio,
mm-hmm.
there's a clear and consistent pattern when it comes to Money in the Bank winners.
Okay.
Do I have to spell it out for you, sir?
Yeah, some people are stupid. Continue.
Okay, fair enough. There's never been a black Money in the Bank winner. And with the exception of Alberto Del Rio, there's never been a person of color Money in the Bank winner. And the reason that I find this problematic is because, number one, I always enjoy the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It's basically the unofficial fifth major of the WWE season, right? Because whomever they choose to give those briefcases to, that's who you know they have confidence in, because 9 times out of 10, whoever holds the briefcase ends up winning the title.
Right.
So while you might have a guy or a gal that isn't seen on that level, giving them that Money in the Bank gives them that status. It automatically elevates that status. And the fact that we haven't had any black winners in it barely, yeah. I mean, just MVP barely
should,
had
I think
any
MVP should have won. I think MVP should have won one.
I agree with that. I think MVP should have won one as well. There's a lot of things I think MVP should have won, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. But it's a disconcerting, consistent pattern that we see with WWE with these Money in the Banks. It is an opportunity to elevate somebody, and they don't feel like there's any black stars worth elevating. We talked about it earlier. Apollo seems to be getting some sort of push, but you can't have my man's on here crying.
No,
okay, you just can't. You don't get over like that.
There's no crying in wrestling. It's just it's like saying fake. Okay, it's
frowned upon. And if they do replace him mm-hmm. with another brother, I could see them easily sliding MVP into that slot, but he's clearly not going to win if they slide him in there.
The modern day Maharaja? No, just saying. Wouldn't count either.
I would like that too, though, because we're all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs with a Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal feud. I think we all want to see that.
Yeah. Most
of us want to see us that have sense want to see that.
Right. So that's your Money in the Bank participants. Okay, from the men's side, give me your winner.
Aleister Black.
Yeah,
I can see a scenario when Corbin gets it, but yeah, I think Aleister wins.
I think it's going to come down to Aleister and Corbin. Both number one guys on their programs, if you will, so to speak. You know what I mean? With King Corbin. And I did like a point this out because I thought this was very funny. Corey Graves on commentary said, when he won it, he was just a Corbin. Now he's a King. And I thought that was really, really good. And I wanted to point that out to Corey Graves on that one. I peeped that line, and I thought that line was awesome. From the women's side, who you got winning this thing?
So on the women, we've got Asuka, Shayna Baszler, the lovely, a.k.a. Big Fine, Nia Jax, mm-hmm. Dana Brooke, Cleveland's own Dana Brooke,
there we go.
Lacey Evans, and F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S, yes,
Texas Carmella. Fabulous. So who are you going with? You think
I got to go Baszler.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go?
I got to go Baszler here.
I think Nia Jax, I'm going to be different. I think everything you just said, maybe this is your time. Why not Nia Jax?
I hope you're right.
Jax?
I'd like to see him.
Why not Nia Jax? Like, we have Asuka. Asuka has seemed to be that she's now falling into the Sheamus role of the female division of she's going to always be that woman that can whoop your ass at any given time. And you can think that can win anything at any given time, but just not quite win it at the right times or need it necessarily in Asuka. I don't think Asuka, Shayna Baszler, I don't think they need it. I don't think Dana Brooks can benefit from it. Lacey Evans, I think, is not ready for it. And Carmella has already had it. So the three favorites to me is Asuka, Shayna, and Nia. And I think they give it to Nia.
I wouldn't mind the facebreaker having the Money in the Bank contract because, I mean, there's clear history there. I just don't think they're done with that Shayna storyline with Becky Lynch. And I think that could lead to compelling television, having Shayna hunting her down like Ice-T and surviving the game.
Touche. Also, we have the WWE men's title, as we saw, as you heard, the contract signing that took place between Drew McIntyre and White Jesus, Seth Rollins. How do you see this match coming out and playing out?
I think this is a schmoz because they reintroduced I can't call him Buddy. They reintroduced Murphy, like he's RoboCop, mm-hmm. but they reintroduced him with Seth Rollins. So I think they're going to.
I loved it. RoboCop
or Murphy?
I like Buddy Murphy. I'm mad he's not in the Money in the Bank, but I understand why. Because I would want him to kind of win it. And that would have been too soon to start the distinction between him and Seth. Because to me, him and Seth is gold in that ring.
Fair enough. But yeah, I think this is some sort of smudge because I think they're going to carry this Seth feud through the summer, maybe even onto SummerSlam. But I don't think we get a definitive winner here because what's the point of carrying on the feud if McIntyre definitively wins and you can't take the title off of him this mm-hmm. soon right. for obvious reasons. So yeah, we get some sort of schmaz here, a non-finish.
I definitely agree with you on that note. Going over, Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. We haven't said it's The Fiend. It's Bray Wyatt. That's a different rendition. Are we going to get The Fiend or are we going to get Bray Wyatt? But as of right now, it is booked to be Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. There is a difference. We watch how they market things. They will tell you if The Fiend's going to be there. Like they will tell you in the, which I wish he just become great again, in Finn Balor. Who you got winning this match? So I think Braun, I think also the same thing. I don't know. This was a tough one. I want to say the same thing. I don't see a definitive winner in this one. But since it's Bray and not The Fiend, I think Braun does win this one, Chris.
I agree with that. If it was The Fiend, it's The Fiend all day. Because Braun is he's for all intents and purposes, he's a transitional champion. Like, yeah, this wasn't absolutely. The plan
no,
heading
all.
Into this. It's not just, they had to, yeah, this wasn't the plan. But since they did make that distinction between Bray and The Fiend, I think that, I think similar outcome. I think Braun wins this, and then maybe Bray comes back with The Fiend the next time they face off and he gets the belt back. But, yeah, I'll go Braun right here. If it's Bray, it's Braun. If it's Fiend,
yeah,
it's Fiend.
Then we got Bayley versus Tamina. I'm sorry. I think Bayley wins this, and I think Bayley wins this clean. Or when I mean clean, I mean that I think she gets help. I don't care. Bayley wins this match with a 1-2-3. Tamina is just a transitional competitor in this match right now. This is not the end all the be all. And I think Bayley needs to win this match in a 1-2-3. She's already a heel, so it doesn't matter how she wins. But I think Bayley gets the pin in this match against Tamina. How you got this one going, Chris?
Big booty Bayley.
No, that's not how you say and it. Hey! We want some Bayley! Right, it wasn't there at WrestleMania. You would know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I like my way better. But so I'm going to go Big Booty Bayley on this one as well. I think the delectable Sasha Banks interferes to kind of fuel their rivalry that's, you know, coming to a head, pun intended. But yeah, I think she relies on Sasha to win this here, furthers their dissension in the ranks.
All right, moving on to the tag team champions on SmackDown, 18-time champions New Day, the Forgotten Sons. Why the hell are they in this match? The Miz and Morrison in the Lucha House Party. There is no way New Day loses this match, is there, Chris? I don't see it.
I don't know, man. I mean, conventional WWE booking, the Forgotten Sons of Anarchy went over on them Friday, would say that they would win Sunday, but if anything,
it's Miz and Morrison get it back, right? With Miz cutting them like we've never lost it promos.
That could be a way to go as well. I'm going to go the Forgotten Sons of Anarchy in here. No way. Now, the Fatal 4-Way, that's the elimination tag match, right?
No, this is the regular championship match. It is slighted right now, coming off the Sons of Anarchy pitting the New Day. It's them defending the championship. Yeah, Fatal 4-Way match, meaning, you know, it, hot starts Forgotten. Yeah, it's a Fatal 4-Way, not a Fatal 4-Way elimination. So it's first one pin.
Okay. Okay, so Lucha House Party or Miz and Morrison take the L here, and Forgotten Sons of Anarchy are your new champions.
The Forgotten Sons of Anarchy. All right, and then predictions for the night that haven't been out there yet. I'm going to go ahead and say, because friendly to be on this show every single week, and that is the Streets Profits taking on the Viking Raiders for the tag team titles, and also maybe Sami Zayn taking on Drew Gulak for just to, you know, throw something out there that something else is going to happen on this pay-per-view. Mother's Day pay-per-view is going to be 4 hours at least. I'm not excited for it. Absolutely not. I think it's in bad timing, just for my personal taste. For wrestling fans, we'll be really excited about this. Hey, go watch it. I will watch it just after I watch The Last Dance. I will have to stay off of social media in a different light, because I'm on social media the whole time doing The Last Dance, tweeting and all over social media as well. So for me, I'm not excited for this, because it is The Last Dance, and being the diehard Bulls fan that I am, the diehard Michael Jordan fan that I am, I love that my kids and my wife get to see a little bit of their father's personality, because I grew up in the city. His influence on the city was so overwhelming. This is why a lot of the guys in the 90s are how we are. It was just either, I don't care who you are, I'm going to beat you at all costs mentality. So for me, Money in the Bank is just, it's late in a bad time right now. And I heard it starts at 7. So if they're smart, make it a two-night like it in WrestleMania. But they're not. So it's going to be 4 hours. I can see the first 2 hours, and hopefully I can see some, you know, at least I don't have to go back and watch the whole thing from 7 to 9. But from 7 to 9, I will watch it. After that, hey, I don't know about that. What about you, Chris? To watch or not to watch?
Well,
that is the question.
In our household, man, we have what's known as, we're similar to the government. Yeah, you have the judicial, the executive, and the legislative branches.
Yeah.
We have in this household what's known as executive decisions, which means at any point in time, either membership gets to make an executive decision, which means, no, we're not doing that goofy shit. Point blank, period. It's not up for debate. It's not up for questioning. Okay. It's not happening.
Okay.
That being said, there is no way in bloody hell, that I'm going to be able, on a Mother's Day. Well, my mother's 3,000 miles away, but yeah. Baby, trust me, thanks to Michael Knox, you about to get some flowers, baby. Love you. But there is no way in bloody hell that I am going to be able to keep on the WWE Network when The Last Dance is live on television. Amber ain't going for that shit, so I already know. So this is probably what's going to happen, because I do suffer from insomnia.
Show on Monday morning, so we better watch it by then, or we're not going to have a shit show. How about that?
Well, that's what happens, man. I'll probably wake up at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, can't go back to bed, and then throw it on there. And then I'll watch the show from there.
That is exactly what's going to happen, Chris. That's exactly what's going to happen. So listen, guys, we're going to get out of here this week, guys. Thank you for joining Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Show. Listen, you can find this podcast and wherever podcasts are sold, which is absolutely free anywhere. Also available on iHeartRadio as well. Make sure you follow me by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. My name is Mike Knox with 3 X's. But people, you already know that. Christopher Platt right there, the real CP Platt on Twitter as well. Chris, you are doing other things as well, sir. Where can they find your other shows, my brother?
Well, first and foremost, again, you guys can find me on Twitter at the real C Platt. You can find Pod is War, which debuts every Thursday on Chair Shot Radio Network and everywhere podcasts are shown. It's myself, Mr. Andrew Belaz and Mr. Moderator PC Tunney going back and forth about the five hottest topics in this weird, wonderful, wacky world of wrestling. Again, it's Pardon the Interruption meets First Take with the volume turned up to like 85. So if you like some good old-fashioned cussing and maybe a little bit of non-PC conversations, that's the place for you. Again, every Thursday on ChairShot. Also, PC Tunney and I, the commissioner, we're doing a special Pot is War anthology show breaking down the episodes of The Last Dance. Look out for that tomorrow. We're also going to have Mr. Mike Knox on there this evening breaking down episodes 4 and 5 of The Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls documentary that has had much critical acclaim. So you can find that on thechairshot.com and wherever you find podcasts. Last but not least, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirt. We've got something for everybody. We've got Jesus Did the Job. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling. If you want to rebel against the Meltzers and the Kellers and all the dirt sheets out here, we've got the hashtag journalism shirt and many, many more. King Baron Corbin sucks. We've got something for everybody, for the wrestling fan in your life, even if it happens to be you. Again, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please.
And also starting this week, tomorrow, guys, a new show brought to you by Belt King Radio's present Champions. It's simply titled Champions. Myself, the moderator, and Corey, that's nephew Corey from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. You guys know him. You name the belt, he got it. We're going to be breaking down championships week after week, the prestige of them, the titles themselves and how they're crafted, because we're belt kings here. You see my wall, okay? We're going to talk about those titles you love most. Please give me your questions, what belts you want to talk about next as well. But tomorrow, on a debut show, we bring to you arguably the most popular title of all time, Big Goldie, as he's better referred to as. We're going to talk about that belt, what that belt meant, some of the best matches from that belt, guys who have won, deserved and not deserved to have that title, and much, much more, breaking down that belt, who made it, who crafted, and some other things coming for you guys. So that's tomorrow, Belt Kings Radio. After that, guys, listen, as I always say, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. We out of here. Fingers.